part one of Sanjay Rath's workshop on nakshatras on CD 1.
Afternoon, everybody. And it's good to be back in London. We'll be talking about nakshatras today and tomorrow. Slightly big target, but it's easy. Most of you know about nakshatras, you know, and I'll be sticking to one level. So, you know, 27 nakshatra scheme and 28 nakshatra scheme. So, but no, what I'll do is 27. Let's learn one thing well. That's important. Rather than learning so much and then getting nothing. It's important that what we learn, what we discuss, you all should get it. You all have the handouts, don't you? So you all have the handout. We can just start straight away rather than waiting for that till it starts. Nakshatra Mandala. The first page, right? The first handout itself, you have it. Good. So nakshatras, you know the etymology. I'm not basically getting into much of Sanskrit. Nak means night. Kshatra means area or zone. Like you have zoning in London. So you have zones. So what they do is the sky map is divided into parts to make the entire study very meaningful. And so how do you divide the sky map or the zodiac into parts? What they do is you can take the months, you know how the 12 sun signs are, is you see the movement of the sun, the seasons, and that's how you get the sun signs. But in the nakshatras, what we do is we take the average time taken by the moon to go around the zodiac. And how much time is that? About 27 days? 27 one-third. Right. So we round it off to 27 days. So the moon takes 27 days to go around the zodiac. That's the reason why we divide the zodiac into 27 parts. And each of these parts is called a nakshatra. The Vedic Jyotish, what we talk of Vedic astrology, is actually originally Nakshatra Jyotish. Rashi Jyotish that you all have learned till now has been derived from here. The original Jyotish is Nakshatra Jyotish. Most of you know about nakshatras, don't you? Why am I doing the basics? I should straightway go to the real stuff. How many of you don't know what nakshatras are? Anybody? You don't know what it is. Okay. So did you get that? 27 days for the moon to go around. And then what did we do? We took 360 degrees and broke it up into 27 parts. So each part is about 13 degrees, 20 minutes. That's important. 13 degrees, 20 minutes. So each 13 degree, 20 minutes is one nakshatra. And so the entire world is divided into 27 kinds of primary creatures. And human beings as a species comes from the nakshatra called Kritika. That is why for human beings, Kritika is very important. So when we draw up human beings' charts, we look at the sign Kritika. Because why do we say Kritika is important? Because that is where the moon gets exalted. The 3 degrees of Taurus is in the nakshatra called Kritika. And the human beings have the biggest or the most powerful mind. What makes us superior to the other creatures? It's a mind, it's a brain. I think most of you agree with me. Whatever we do with it, but definitely we have a superior mind and a bigger brain. So it's Kritika that has given us this superiority. So the moon's exaltation in this particular constellation is what is giving us our mental ability. The Gayatri Mantra is associated directly with this nakshatra. So every time you recite the Gayatri Mantra, what you are doing is you are sharpening your mind. You are getting the rays of the sign, that constellation, Kritika. His devta is called Agni. Agni means light, enlightenment. So the Gayatri Mantra, every time you say the Gayatri Mantra, your brain becomes sharper. Your memory is not going to fail. The Tat Savitur Varenyam, that is called the Gayatri Mantra. Are you aware of this mantra? Oh, that's a beautiful mantra. It goes like this. Tat Savitur Varenyam. Tat Savitur Varenyam. Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Dhyo Yona Prachodayat. What we need to have is a little kind of a group, an email group, where these small things that you can ask me later and I can fill you up, you know, because these are long things. How much are you going to note? Mantras and things like that. So the Gayatri Mantra is important. Okay, let's start with the Nakshatra Mandala. What really is Nakshatra when you look at the sky? When you look at the sky, you see lots of stars in the night sky. The entire sidereal astrology is based upon these stars in the night sky. So this is what we call something tangible, something that you can actually see in the sky. For example, when we say the moon is in a certain constellation, we can see the constellation in the sky and we can see the moon over there in that constellation. That, like the sun signs, you know, Cancer, Leo and those sun signs, you can't see them in the sky. We say that they are there because we are mapping them with the constellation. In reality, those signs are not there in the sky. They are created by the seasons. So the constellations is what is important for us. And these 27 constellations is what we are going to study today. And we are going to see what happens when a human being is born in one particular constellation. How does it affect his mindset? What is he looking for in his wife or husband? How is he looking at children? You see, the brain, we are getting into the brain of the human being. Till now you talked about astrology that you learned, you were just talking about the body and things happening around and things like that. What is he seeking? In everything in life, you seek something. This Nakshatra Mandala tells us, what are you seeking? So to study that, so what we are going to do is, we are going to break it up into different ways by which we can make this study more meaningful. This is what we talked about. You see that? 27 nakshatras times 13 times 20 degrees is 360 degrees. This is the basic equation. You mark this equation. The moon is the lord of the night. The sun is the lord of the day. Is it not? And why are they the lord? Why is the sun the lord of the day? Most obvious thing in the sky. The one who is shining the most. Who is the Lord? Who's got maximum light? Who's the Prime Minister? The one the press always wants to talk about. Right, the maximum amount of light is what is going to make you the Lord. In the night, the moon has the maximum light, so it's the Lord. And on the other hand, the day divisions, you have the Sohora Shastra is all about study of both day and night. And that's how we get this day zodiac and the night zodiac. So the zodiac that you have studied till now, the 12 sign zodiac, is the day zodiac. It's not the night zodiac. What we are getting into is the night zodiac. We got to keep in mind that when we look at that zodiac, the moon is the boss, not the sun. Everything is moon-based. It's a lunar thing. It's all about emotions. Because the moment you start thinking, it's emotions that come into picture. There's a color to everything. Now this is how the zodiac looks. You can see there's a sign Aries. We have this first nakshatra over here mapped into it. Its name is called Ashwini. Can you say that with me? Ashwini. Then we have Bharini and a portion, a tiny portion of this nakshatra called Kritika that is mapping into Aries. Now do this math. Which house deals with parents? Fourth house and the ninth house, is it not? Fourth house is mother, ninth house is father. Now a sign of 30 degrees, if that is divided by 9, how much is each portion? 3 degrees, 20 minutes. A nakshatra is 13 degrees, 20 minutes. When we divide that by 4, how much are we getting? 3 degrees, 20 minutes. Exactly the same. So you take a sun sign and divide it by the house number of the father. You get what is called 3 degrees, 20 minutes or one pada. This. You see the number 1? That is one pada. That is the portion that you get when the sun sign is divided by 9. Same way, when the nakshatra is divided by 4, we are getting one pada. So what am I? Or what are you? You are one pada. Because you are 1/4 of your mother and 1/9 of your father. That is the map. So who has a higher say in your life? Mother or father? Mother. So the mother has a higher say because the nakshatra is divided by 4. Why am I dividing the nakshatra by 4? Because 4th house is mother's house. Rashi by 9 because 9th house is father's house. And it's exactly the same. One pada. Now if one pada is 3 degrees 20 minutes, how many such padas are there in the whole zodiac? 108. That is how the number 108 was derived. So your longevity in this world is supposed to be 108 based upon your gene code coming from father and mother. So far so good? Okay. Now, look at a sign. We took a sign and we broke it into 9 parts. But one nakshatra is just 4 padas. So the first nakshatra of Ashwini came over here. The second nakshatra of Bharani came over here. But Kritika has only number 1 over here. You see that? I'll make this picture more clear for you. You see the colors over here. The red is fire, yellow is earth, blue is air, and white is water. So the first pada of every nakshatra is fire. Second, earth, prithvi. Third, vayu. And fourth, jala. Right. Now we are going to derive Aries. Is Aries a fire sign or a water sign? How do you know that? Because everybody says so. You see the problem? No, I don't agree with it. Maybe who gave Mars the rulership? Why was Mars given the rulership? You see, you didn't ask those questions. That's why you don't know the answers. I asked them, so I know the answers. I used to be a naughty student. Now look at it like this. Let's try, let's derive it. Ashwini has 4 padas. First is fire, earth, air. So all 4 are in Aries. Then comes Bharani. Fire, earth, air, water. All 4 are here. Now look at Kritika. Only 1 is here. The first, that is fire. So Aries has got 3 fire, 2 earth, 2 air, and 2 water. It has 1 fire more. So Aries is not a fire sign. It is a fire dominant sign. Do you see the subtle difference? Are you trying to tell me that somebody born in Aries is not capable of love? No. Or somebody born in Aries is not capable of earning wealth? Or somebody born in Aries is not competent about spirituality matters? Jala.
Is there any logic to that order?
Of fire, earth? Yes, that is an order. The fire comes first because that is the series of the creation. When you see the creation order, the first Akash, when the Akash comes down, the first, it decides, see, when we say fire, it is not really fire as burning fire, it's knowledge. Before you do anything, let's say you are the creator. We tell you, why don't you create something? What is the first thing that you must do? Think about it. Conceive the idea. That is fire. Then, earth. How much is it going to cost me to make it? Is it not? Before you venture into anything, you ought to know how much it's going to cost you. What is it going to cost? Is it just money, resources, energy, time? How? The whole thing. The whole how. Money, material, everything. Then comes the air sign. Getting down to the job. And finally the water. The finishing touches. Giving life to it. The emotions into it. They're giving it a name, inauguration, people coming, the water sign, using it. It's utility. That is the order of creation of anything.
To be the devil's advocate, I would have somehow thought the air would have been the idea rather than...
No, the original idea comes from knowledge. That's why fire. We are always equating fire in the head as not burning fire, as knowledge. Because this is nakshatras. It's in the head. All that is happening over here is happening inside your head. And that is triggering things around. In your life. What is happening over here is happening in your head and that's triggering this house. So we are getting into what's happening into your head first. If you don't know what's happening in your head, how can we say exactly what's happening out here? So we now got Aries as having 3 fire points. Right? It's got 3. The rest, so basically there's a subtle dominance of fire. It has got 1 point fire more. That's all. But that is enough for it to become predominantly fire. Take Taurus. You will find the same formula. You will find dominantly earth. Like that you can derive the every sign. Every sign is derived in this manner as being a fire sign or earth sign or air sign or a water sign. It's actually a water dominant sign. So signs are coming from the nakshatra and not vice versa. A sign in Vedic astrology is defined as having 9 nakshatra pada. Now see the definition of the sign. In Jyotish, it is said to be exactly 9 nakshatra pada. That means it has to be 30 degrees. You can't use any other system to make it smaller or to make it bigger. If you do that, then it is not a sign. It becomes a house. You see that? There's a difference between a sign and a house. Then it becomes bhava. Bhava is from bhava, the thought. How are you looking at things? Okay, now let's get into this. Did you get this part clearly? Interesting. We have these 27 nakshatras and their names I have noted over here. Ashwini, Bharani, Kritika, Rohini, Mrigashira, Ardra. Ardra is from the word Rudra. Punar, Vasu. The names are very meaningful. Punar means again, come again. Vasu means light. It's awakening, a new awakening that's happening over here. It's when you learn something and then suddenly you wake up, oh wow, that's a new thing I learned. That's Punar Vasu. Pushya. Pushya is Tishya. The original Vedic name was Tishya. That means that which is always sustaining you, nourishing you. That is the reason why you said, oh, that must be Mama. Because nobody nourishes like the mother. So that's how you equated this to cancer. You equated this to mother. Pushya is from Tushya, nourishing. Then comes Ashlesha. Ashlesha is the protector. Who is going to rise like a tiger to fight for you? Who is your constant stage of protection? First over there is your mother. Could be your father also. Other people who are at home, who are protecting you, is Ashlesha. Like that, we go through each and every. You can see Hasta. Hasta means hand. Your hand is called Hasta. Now you see, some of these nakshatras have joint names. There is a meaning behind that. Purva means the hind part, the lower part. Uttara means the upper part. Purva means east. Uttara means north. But don't go by that east and north definition. Here, Purva, as in Purva Falguni, means lower. Uttara means upper. Normally, whenever you find nakshatras like this, you know that they are talking of couples or pairs. Something is happening out there where both are required. Like, can you have a bed with just two legs? No. The bed must have four legs. So we put a bed over here, a cot over here, a symbol over here. The hind legs of the cot are coming here, the four legs of the cot are coming over here. You see that? So the cot is spreading over here. There's a whole bed over here. And what bed is that? That's a marriage bed. Interesting, is it not? So we have a bed over there, which is the marriage bed, which is passing through the Falgunis. Like that, we will go into the symbols of each of these nakshatra today, and we will understand these nakshatra and their symbols. How can we study this whole subject called nakshatra? We need to have a process to study something. Without a process, we don't get anywhere. The first important thing is called Nav Tara. Nav means nine. Tara means stars. Many people know about this Navtara. Anybody who knows anything about Vimshottari Dasha knows about Navtara. Navtara Chakra. There's a whole chakra, but there's a whole science to this. That is what we'll be talking about. The science behind the Navtara Chakra. The three lokas. This is interesting. Now let's see. We had found out earlier in a mathematical calculation that I or you is one pada, is it not? And the house of the father was 9. House of the mother was 4. So how much is 9 times 4? 36. So how much angle is 36 padas? That will be 36 times 3 degrees 20 minutes. And how much is that? That's called the grand trine of 120 degrees. So the derivation of the grand trine of 120 degrees is based upon 9 times the house of the, that is the house of the father times the house of the mother multiplied by me. That is the trine. That is why it is grand. Because I got everything from dad, I got everything from mom, I am delighted. You see that? That is what is the grand trine. That is why it is called so beneficial. All the rays of the sun and all the rays of the moon. So 9 fours are 36, 120 degrees. If you remember, if you count how many padas are there from here to here, you will get exactly 36. 9 over here, 9, 1, 9, 2, 9, 3, 9, 4, 36 padas. This is exactly 120 degrees ending in cancer. So what happens after 120 degrees? That is where we say, hey, what happens after you have taken everything from your dad and mom? Then you say, okay, it's my life. I am responsible. So what we call Gandanta. Gandanta means a major ending happens over here. And then you start another count of life called 36. Same manner. Here, you are the father and your wife is the mother. Or you are the mother and your husband is the father. The new count begins. This is another 36. So 72 padas you finished over here. Another Gandanta comes over here. And then the last. Mukti pada. The last step that you are taking of life. From 72 to 108. You see how beautifully it is defined. It's also defining the Gandantas. You got the definitions of why these are called Ganda, Anta. Ganda means that which is radical. Anta means ending. Something suddenly finished. That is Gandanta. We have also derived these mathematically. That is important. To know the mathematical derivations, how we arrived at that. Okay. So Navtara Chakra is one of the methods of studying the nakshatras. Then we have various types of nakshatras. For example, like you have signs, you have fixed signs, right? You have fixed signs, you have movable signs. What are the other types? Fixed, movable and dual signs. Okay, so we have fixed nakshatras and then we have movable nakshatras and we have dual nakshatras. Interesting. When you use the knowledge that you have, you find that learning this is going to be easy. Then we say softness. We say male signs are hard, right? And female signs are soft. Like Taurus, is it soft or hard? Soft sign. Aries is hard. Like that, we have soft nakshatras called Mridu. Mridu means soft. So we can also study the nakshatras on the basis of the softness and the hardness. But then there are more grades of that. Not just two. We can also talk about the sight of the nakshatras. Unlike the Rashis, which are basically headless things, so the physical entities, nakshatras are the brains. There are nakshatras which look up. Make you look up. Some nakshatras make you look straight. Some nakshatras make you look down. If you are born in a nakshatra in which, let us say, your ascendant, which is your brain, is looking down and your mind is looking up, don't you think there's a conflict over there? There is some kind of a conflict. We need to understand what is this conflict, is it not? If I were to just observe nature, a child, a small child going to school or running to play, does he look down where he's running? No. He's looking up at his friends and he's running to play. He doesn't care what's there on the bottom. He could be stumbling, but he's super confident. Blind confidence of what I call the kid, the youth. So confident they are. The movie goes down to, let's say, 80 years, old man holding a stick. He's looking down. He's seeing, is that step okay? Can I take it? He's so scared. If I fall and break my bones, they won't heal at this age. You see? So the old man is looking down. He has to look down because that is required for his age. The little kid is overconfident looking up. The middle-aged person is looking straight. He's aware of the pitfalls of life, but he's still strong enough not to look down. Do you see the difference over here? So that is the meaning behind looking up, looking down. There is another hidden meaning about looking up and looking down. Looking up are those who are looking spiritually to God. That's why they say the kids are always looking at God. Looking down are people who are researching, who are looking back. They're looking back into their life, trying to learn the lessons of life, trying to learn more. What is it that I missed out? I must try to fill in that information. That is all about looking down. We should not say this is good or this is bad. It has just got a meaning. There is no black and white when it comes to nakshatras. Keep that in mind. Because in the mind, there is nothing called black and white. It's all in colors, it's all in grayscales, it's all in... It's somebody's viewpoint. So you cannot, when you're studying nakshatras, you cannot and should not close your mind. You do that, you'll become very judgmental about people. The third way is to study these dangerous junctions, like the Gandanta which we saw now, Pushkara. Pushkara means Brahma's point. It's all about creation. What are these points? When Brahma was creating, something went wrong. You know, like you're making a car in assembly, a bolt falls down. So there is a weak link over there. All human beings are not created in exactly the same mold. Some of us have weak links. So Pushkara tells us what these weak links are. Brahma's attention was not focused on the job. He was probably hungry. Then Shunya. Shunya nakshatras are the most funniest kind of nakshatras. They have this great spiritual blessing of God. Whatever shall be put over there, you shall make zero. Have you seen? Some aspects of our life is completely zero. You learn astrology and you break your head to find out, why is this so much zero? Why is it that I, who am an MBA, who can handle maybe 10,000 people in a company, cannot find myself a nice wife? I've seen that kind of situation. So you realize that there is something called Shunya, where a big zero is happening. You try so hard, and then again it becomes a zero. Again you tried, again a zero. Sometimes in life there is always this. We need to know what are those things that are becoming Shunya, and what can we do to accept it. That is very important. Firstly, we need to accept that there is a hole over there, like a black hole, which is going to suck up everything in my life. And I should not be sitting and crying about it. I should be more focused about what else I can fill in. Okay? Then the Tattva Chakra. Tattva Chakra is the most interesting part. It has to do with things like Panchapakshi. Have you heard of Panchapakshi? Some of you would have heard. The five great birds. It's all about which bird do you belong to. You know, sometimes when you are a king, you see which bird I was born under. It's all about Garuda, the king of birds. Now Garuda, who is carrying Bhagwan, is flying in the air, and so he is the king. He is too busy with God. Who is going to look after human beings? So he assigns the job to five of his birds. So there are five bird kings. Which are the five bird kings? First you have the vulture. Did you know the vulture is a bird king? Vulture is a very powerful bird. Have you heard of Zoroastrians? Or maybe the Parsis? In India we have Parsis. We call them Parsis because they came from Persia. Actually, they are Zoroastrians. When they die, what happens to their body? They are donated to the vultures. There is a huge thing, the ceremony is performed and it is offered to the vultures for food.
There are certain tribes in Africa.
As well. Good. So, this is all about Prithvi Tattva. The vulture is associated with the earth element. So whenever you are finding an earth element flaw, when I say earth element, we were talking about the how, right? The how of creation. Even if you meditate on the vulture, you will find a way. People, for example, somebody in Taurus Lagna, they say are very wealthy. Why are they wealthy? Like the vulture, they can even scrape that little tiny grain of flesh from the bone. It is a talent. It is an ability to conserve, not to waste, like the Leo. I've eaten, I'm full, throw it away. Another fresh one I'll get tomorrow morning. No. What is there, you first finish before you go killing somebody else. That is an ability. Look, think about it from a different. See, you have a bias against vultures. Read about vultures, read more, so that you understand. They are very beautiful birds. Very beautiful birds. See, this is what I'm just trying to show you. When you get into this nakshatra mandala, you will suddenly realize, I am biased against this. I am biased against the parrot is a very beautiful bird for me. You see, this is a bias that has been created in our minds by society. So vulture is a bird king. Okay, for earth element. Next important element, people. There is a lot of recession going on. Time you meditated on the vulture. Right? Good. Next, second important bird is called the owl. The owl is associated with water and the goddess Lakshmi. The owl has the power. What is the special power that the owl has got? It can see very clearly at night. That means it can see what's in your heart. It is symbolic of being able to read the heart. It can see what's in your heart, how honest you are. What is your emotion? How well you have done something? It's a judgment of like passing judgment on things, appreciating things. Water element. Water has to do with healing. Then the third bird over there in that list was crow. Is it a good bird? What's the good thing about the crow? Oh, that's what you think so. In reality, not. He's very choosy. He picks it up, he'll eat what he wants. If he's hungry, he will eat. Otherwise, why should he eat a waste? Very intelligent. Extremely intelligent. That is the quality of the crow. That's why they use the word cunning crow. He's extremely sharp. In India, they say, when the crow has to die, he flies all the way to the Himalayas. And there is only one place in the Himalayas where he will die. It's very crazy about these crows in India. We never understood them fully. They are associated with Agni. In the Bible, you have a raven leading the way. It always leads you. You are not able to find direction in life. You are getting lost. Think of the crow. It will lead you. It will lead you to the right target. You will find your way. That is the power it has got. Strange, isn't it? Then, we have the fourth important bird. Which tattva is the fourth? Vayu. Vayu deals with which bird? The rooster, that's right. The rooster. He's also king, but he's associated with Vayu. He's a very strong fellow. He wakes up in time. The first sunrise he wakes up. What does it mean? Discipline. His strength is discipline. You are not able to wake up in the morning. You are late for everything. You are late to class. You are late to office. You are late to the time to meditate on the rooster and stop eating chicken. When you do that, you will get the focus of the Vayu. Like Hanuman, you will wake up on time. You will be on time. Imagine if Hanuman was late. He just decided to take a stroll over the thing before reaching. Sita would have been kidnapped. She would have been probably dead. Okay. The final bird is the peacock, which is associated with Akash or Bhagwan itself. That's why Krishna has a feather. So that way we go into tattvas and the tattva cycles. There are sub-cycles of the tattvas which we will also get into. To understand the symbols is very important, because unless we understand the symbols, we will not be understanding anything about the nakshatras. So we need to learn how to draw this chakra from Lagna. Why are we drawing it from Lagna? To understand how our brain functions. Each one of us has a brain, and that brain is going to interpret the symbols. Let us say, think of a situation, a lady has got a young beautiful lady has got a, you know, decked in gold and jewels and all, comes to you with a nice glass of water. Please have the glass of water. How would you think? Wow, I must be very fortunate. Some people will think like that. Second, why is she asking me? See, each person is reacting differently to that image. That different reaction is coming because of Lagna Nakshatra. What is happening? The lady carrying the glass of water is Moon Nakshatra. It is something from the outside world. Lagna Nakshatra, inside world. Do you see the difference? One that is happening outside. For example, when there is some news in the paper, or there is a big recession going on around, then you know it's the Moon Nakshatra. Everybody in London will be reading that. But everybody in London is not going to react in the same manner. The difference is Lagna Nakshatra. The Sun Nakshatra is the power to influence world affairs. For normal human beings, you don't look at this. Don't waste your time looking at this nakshatra. Yeah, because normal people are not influencing world affairs. They are very burdened with their own lives. Or are they? No, I don't know. Anyway, we'll debate that. The symbols we are going to study, and some special, think of special nakshatras. This is very important. Why are certain nakshatras special? What is so special about them? And what are they trying to tell us? Now we are starting with the first one in that list. What was that? Navtara, right? So we start with Navtara Chakra. Understanding the Navtara scheme, understanding the Graha of the Navtara Chakra, and application of the Vimshottari Dasha. Most of you know this, so I'll just zip through it. What we do is, we'll take a chart. Whenever you look at a chart, remember this. First house to the fourth house is Earth. Earth means you're very grounded. You can't think beyond tomorrow. It's all about growing up. Fifth house to the eighth house is looking forward. What will happen 1 year from now? What we call you're making retirement plans. It comes from here. The entire planning for middle life. Bhuva Loka. Bhuva means that which is not fully on Earth. Your mind is going beyond earthly plane. Swargaloka is thinking of heaven and God. That comes from all these nakshatras from 19th to 27. If I were to divide this into three parts, they are Bhu, Bhuva, Swa. So Om Bhur Bhuva Swa is called the Brihaspati's Vyakriti. the Triloka Vyahrati. This is what Brihaspati teaches. He says, divide the world into three parts and you will be able to understand what the world is. That is why we are dividing. Otherwise, everything you look is in trines. Aries, Leo and Sagittarius is in trines. Is it not? So how many nakshatras are we getting over here? 9. Exactly we have 9 nakshatras over here. From 10 to 18. The same 9 from here. 19 to 27. So why are we taking 9 nakshatras? Because there are Navagraha. Because of Navagraha, we are taking 9 nakshatras. So these nakshatras are repeating. And this nakshatras, we are giving some order to understand them. What is this order? We have an order like this. We have a number. Ashwini has a number 1. So whenever you see a number of a nakshatra, add it up. All you have to do is to add it up and you will get the corresponding number over here. You don't have to remember all these names. You have to just remember there are numbers from 1 to 9 and whatever is your nakshatra. Like, see, I know I was born in 24 nakshatra. 24 is 4 plus 2, 6. That's here. It is repeating in a certain pattern. All you need to know is this number. So I belong to this group. And the graha of this nakshatra is Rahu. Now if my moon is there, what did I tell you about the moon? Outside world. So there is an outside world. So if your moon is in this nakshatra, it tells you where is your outside world. Where do you need to go to fulfill the purpose of your creation? It is as simple as that. How many of you know your Janma Nakshatra? Good. So we take some cases from the class. Nimisha, what's yours?
Mula.
Mula. So, where is Mula? Over here. Number 19. Right? So 1 plus 9 is 10, which is again 1. Which planet do we get out here?
Ketu.
Ketu is a very headless planet. What does that mean?
That direction.
Vertically up. What is it trying to tell?
Look up.
Look up. That's exactly true. What else? What would you say about Ketu? What directions in your life, career? Let's say you were born in London. Is it necessary for you to go out of London to look for your life, or you will find your life over here?
You will find it within you.
That's what Ketu Mula will say. That's more right. Because when you're looking up, you're not looking here and there. So you're basically looking at yourself. So people who are born in 1, 10 or 19 need to look up or look into themselves. People, Bharini, you can see Venus over here. Venus has to do with partner, with your spouse. You observe people who are born in, let's say, Bharini or Purva Falguni or Purva Shada. Marriage is a very important turning point for them. It can completely change their life. Anybody in this nakshatra? Completely will change your life. Very simple. All you have to do is to check up which nakshatra were you born in. The moon. Look for the moon. Because the moon is your fortune. The moon is the outside world for you. What the moon says is very important. Listen to it carefully. If for me, the moon was in Satavishaj and it is owned by Rahu. Rahu has to do with foreign things. People outside my little town of Puri. What will it tell me? Sanjay, you will have no fortune in your place of birth. You will have to get out from this thing. You will have to get out from this closed mentality. Go out and see the people of the world. And that exactly happened. You know, I had to go out to join a government job. And I was wondering, why didn't I get a government job right at home? It would be so nice. Mama would have cooked and I would have just... No, it was so nice it would have been. But it wasn't to happen, I had to. See, this is the destiny. Rahu forces, you got to go out. What you think is foreigner is not foreigner. They are one of you. And that is the important message that he's trying to tell me. So people who are born in, let's say, Ardra, Swati and Satavishaj should look for their fortune outside. Good fortune comes to you when you are looking outside your box. Whenever you think you have got shut up in life, life has come to an end, you think that things are blocked completely, look at your moon nakshatra, find the Lord, it will tell you what to do.
What is for moon, Shravana?
Moon is all about family responsibilities. Moon is home. It's about family responsibilities. You ignore family, you will get it very badly. So it puts a very hard condition. It gives you a lot of responsibility. You cannot. And family is not just your birth family. If you're working, all your workers are your family. All your colleagues are your family. If you're a part of this Jyotish group, then the Jyotish group is your family. People who are born in these moons, so that is why Shravana, for example, is associated with Vishnu. Vishnu is all feeding people all the time. It's all about family and feeding. It's a very motherly function. It's all about feeding people. Hasta, the hand, is always working. Blessing, benediction. Look at that. Rohini, Krishna's nakshatra. So you belong to that group, which is always thinking in terms of family. Mercury is all about work. Work, work. Creating wealth is the focus. It is not making money. It's a very wrong thing. Creating wealth is very different from making money. Creating wealth is creating a better life for more people. There is a nice book, G.R.D. Tata's Big Blue Mountain. I read that book to understand this Mercury. Yes, they're always thinking not just about themselves. They are thinking about everybody. They're thinking in a more broader frame, especially people who they are connected with, their friends, associates, colleagues, cousins, their extended family.
But there's a danger with Mercury, that line, where they miss something important when they're...
Because it is all, yes, and what they miss is the definition. What you think is friend, is he really a friend? You see, that's the danger with Mercury all the time. That is why it is the border. You should not be so changeable. Your definition should not be changing so often. You should be firm for some time. That is important about Mercury. But in reality, it's all about learning. If your mind is very fixed, you are not learning anything. Look at it from another point of view. If every day you learn something new, your Mercury has changed that much. You need to learn more and more and more. That is why Revati, for example, is associated with Saraswati. Saraswati's nakshatra is Revati. Revati. It's all about learning languages, learning all the art. Jyeshtha is all about learning the entire secrets of creation, the final masterpiece stroke. Ashlesha is all about learning to protect yourself. It's all about learning. It's Mercury that you need to see that will tell you what to do. Look at your work, get a better work. If you have a better hold on your work, the tendency of these people is like that. Somebody, let's say, is born in Jyeshtha, for him, no matter how much he may talk about, oh, I will do a lot for my family and this and that. No, you are totally work focused. Because fundamentally, your brain is not created that way. Ashlesha, so very work focused. Very work focused. The sun is very spiritual. This is the most spiritual. Among the nakshatras, this is the most spiritual lot. Kritika, Uttara Falguni and Uttarashada. Mars is about resolving conflict, asserting power.
The sun will say, look for spirituality.
Look for spiritual answers. Look for the boss. And the ultimate boss is God. That's why the sun, you know, when you buy bosses, ultimate boss is God. So you reach God that way. In fact, this particular nakshatra is very interesting. It's associated with Ganesha. Ganesha is specifically associated with Uttarashada. We'll go into the symbols. You will see it's very interesting.
How much can the Lagna nakshatra affect your work?
It does totally, because it is how you work. There is a difference between what you work on and how you work. What you work on is the Moon nakshatra. How you work is the Lagna nakshatra.
If there is a conflict between the two.
For example, 10 Downing Street is the nakshatra of the Prime Minister. Whenever that star, 10 Downing Street, will come in somebody's business card, you know he's going to be the Prime Minister. But every Prime Minister is not the same. They are working differently. That is their Lagna nakshatra. How they work is the Lagna nakshatra. What they are doing is Moon nakshatra. That is what the people gave him. Moon has to do with society. So what job can you get from society is seen from the moon. But how you are going to do it is your Lagna.
So what if it's the same?
That's very good. Extremely good balance. Like Krishna. Moon and Lagna are in the same nakshatra. Extremely good balance. In fact, they cease thinking about, they get totally into what they are doing. They become a part of what they are doing. That means, they are not differentiating between work and home. Work tends to become into home. That's also negative. Keep that in mind. Because then they start seeking personal life, then you see what's happening over there? So we need to find a way out. We'll go into how to do that.
So basically when you can focus how to do it and where to do it,
that's exactly.
That is the key.
You're
doing the wrong thing.
What we need to know is, where is my brain thinking wrong? If I can get to know that, I can solve the problem. So we need to understand nakshatras because of this. To understand our own brains. How are these? You see, try to understand. You have computers. Your computer will work based upon, one, the configuration of the computer, and two, the software in the computer. If the software is different for each of us, our brains are functioning differently, even if the computer looks the same. You and I have two eyes, same hair, two nose, two ears, but the software inside the head is different. And that is what we are going to study, is how is this configured? This configuration we need to understand. Jupiter and Saturn. Jupiter has to do with protection of wealth. Protection of order. No change. This is the law. Everybody will obey. That is Jupiter. Saturn, to hell with the law, I will not obey. That is the difference. They are exactly the same, actually. Come to think of it, they are exactly the same. You can't have this without that. You don't need a guardian of the law if there is nobody saying hell with the law.
What is the positive side of Saturn?
The positive side of Saturn? No, Saturn is positive. Saturn is positive in that Saturn always tells you, he's trying to tell you, this law is outdated. Why do you need so many laws? Like, I'll tell you, when I am born, as I told you, Satabhishad Nakshatra, the lord of my moon sign is Saturn, right? This is in the sign Aquarius. Rahu is the lord, and Rahu is a friend of Saturn, let's say. So naturally, certain kind of friendly Saturnine links will come to me. So when I was put in charge, young boy, and just joined, finished my college, and ready to do something for my country. Okay, there's the sugar, you go to take care of sugar. So I was posted over there and I went over there. First you go study all the files. So when I looked at the files, 1 month I was horrified. I went to my boss, are you mad? If the public gets to know this, we'll get killed. How did we give sugar to Pakistan? I mean, we are supposed to be having war with them all the time. Yet we are giving them sugar when we need it. That's not done. Then I was explained that, look, this is not what happens in real life. What politics goes on, goes on. People need to eat. Our job is to ensure that if our neighboring country is going to have serious problems, people are going to be dying without food, or there's going to be major disease, don't you think we'll also be in trouble? Think of it. Sitting in an island like maybe United Kingdom, you may not think so. But when you are in a land, in a country where you have neighbors, you have to think about your neighbor. Your neighbor can't be fasting. So like that I learned. And then I said, okay, there is this law which says you carry sugar from here to here, from Haryana to Delhi, you go to jail. Why do we have such a stupid law? To hell with it. So my job was to break all the old laws. I trashed so many laws in my time. It was a pleasure. You see, the point is, unless you question it, you will never change it. You won't see what is wrong with it. The question is the beginning of learning. That is the power of this great philosopher. He is a philosopher because he can question. You see, understand the thing. It's very powerful. Okay, shall we go now? Now imagine, what do we have to do? Two things. We have to check the Lagna and we have to check the moon. And all of you in future should know that tomorrow when we meet, all of you should know what is your Lagna Nakshatra and what is your Moon Nakshatra. You should know that. Lordships. Now when you see the Lordships, this is a chart which is just drawn nicely for you to understand the Lordships. Please use this chart to fill in planets in your chart. Let's say in my chart, my Lagna is here. So I will write Lagna over here, over 26. Okay? And I have Jupiter in here. So I'll put Jupiter over here. So go back home today. Please fill this up with your own chart. This page has to be filled up with your chart, with all the planets in your chart. It's important because of what we are going to be doing tomorrow. You need to know so that you can quickly flip back and see. If you know your chart, you will know somebody else's chart when you see that tomorrow. It's always good to study with your own chart. Now we are going to use some, these are the Sanskrit words for the Navtara. You are all aware of this. Janma, Sampat, Vipat, Kshema, Pratyak, Sada, Vada, Mitra, Ati Mitra. People who are not masters in Sanskrit are going to break their heads. What the hell does this mean as far as my life is concerned? So I tried to translate this and get meaningful words over here. Janma. Janma is birth. Janma is also start. What you know till now is birth. What you did not know was start. You see this word, start. When you start something, how do you start things? Are you a good starter in life or you're a bad starter? In anything that you take up, you started well or you don't start it well? Have you thought about this? How do people start things? Do they start up suddenly in your life? Or does it happen slowly? Like, how did you get married? Were you dating for 3 years? Or did you just see your wife and just jump? Or, marry me. What happened? That how you start things is dependent upon your first nakshatra. If the lord of this nakshatra is a bad planet, a weak planet, a sudden planet, then you do things suddenly. Now let's say my moon is in a Satavishaj I talked about. The lord is Rahu. Do you think I do things suddenly or I don't do things suddenly?
Chaotic.
Chaotic, definitely. Suddenly, Rahu is sudden, right? Shockingly, people could be shocked with what I do. Right, Zoki?
Yes.
Confusing is not Rahu. Confusing is Ketu, it's headless. See, the nodes are always sudden. Things, when we're talking of moon sign, it's all about how the world is seeing you. Lagna is how your brain is actually functioning. Do you see the difference? So, if my moon is in a nakshatra of Rahu, I could be doing things very suddenly. And that itself is bad. 50% of my work will be lost because the starting was not good. I was in a hurry to do something. If Saturn is the lord of your Janma Nakshatra, it takes you ages to get started. Right? If Jupiter, beautiful start. Mercury, fun start. You have fun starting things. You're happy about starting things. Venus, you're always starting things when somebody else tells you. It's all about relationship. Okay, he's my friend, that's why I'm doing this. Okay, I need to do this. There is always a relationship involved in what you are doing. Starting something. So, the Janma Nakshatra is going to tell us how you're going to start things. And how you start things ultimately depends upon Ganesha. Because you see, this is the natural Navtara. Natural Navtara indicates what is the when God created man, how he created him. For example, from God's point of view, he says, when human beings start things, they are completely headless idiots. They behave as if they are little children and they are starting things. I want to start a $1 million project. Are you mad? You haven't thought of anything? You haven't thought about taking the whole world into account? You want to start the project because you think you're going to make money. What will happen to the world, did you think? No. Let's say a plastic. The plastic that you are going to create, how many plants are going to die? There's going to be a black hole in the sky which can't be filled in. Did you think of all that? No, you did not think of. So that basically you are all headless people, is what God is trying to tell us. It's fact, is it not? Some of the biggest brains in this world who have made the tons of money are actually because of, they have just done Ketu, mistakes and mistakes and mistakes. So to avoid bad starts, you worship Ganesha. Before starting anything, please worship Ganesha. So that whatever happens, if it is not meant to be good, let it end. Before you get bad karmas. That is the meaning of worshipping Ganesha. That is why Ganesha is worshipped with stars. Look at the planets, how they are beautifully ordered. Sampat means wealth. Wealth is really defined as something worth guarding. Something which is, has a value. A value being given by the world. So Lakshmi is the goddess associated with Venus. You see that? Vipat is misfortune. When you have misfortunes, you need to pray to the sun god. Please tell me why this bad luck. Shema. Resting, easy, secure. This is a very good nakshatra, fourth. It has to do with healing. It's about home. Mother. Gauri is the mother. Parvati. So if all I have done over here is to translate these words, the fifth nakshatra is called the challenge. That means there is a challenger to you. Everything that you have started will meet with a challenge at some point of time. At some point of time, somebody is going to challenge you that this is not right or this is not good. How you deal with it is to be seen from the fifth nakshatra. Okay, let's see. I am born in nakshatra number 24. So can you help me count? 24 is the first nakshatra. This is 25. Third is 26. Fourth is 27. 5 is 1. There is no 28. 1. Nakshatra number 1 or Ashwini tells how do I react to challenges. How do I react? Ashwini is the first nakshatra. So the way Ashwini nakshatra is ruled by which planet? Ketu. I react in a completely headless manner. That means my reaction to somebody challenging me is not right. I should take it more correctly. If I realize that, look, what I am doing is wrong. This person is challenging me. Instead of trying to understand why he's challenging me, what am I telling? He tells me, no, what you said is wrong. Who are you to tell me? Get out of the class. That's wrong. Don't you think that is wrong? That is wrong. I should not behave like Ketu. I should open up to these challenges, these things, and try to deal with it in a manner other than Mars. The tendency, the natural human tendency is anybody who challenges you, you got to fight with him. He's calling for a fight. No, that's not true. Okay? This is telling us what is the natural human tendency. And whether it is good or bad is from the nature of the planet. So, does the average human being react properly to challenges and weaknesses? No. 90% of the people of the world will fail over here. Okay. Next, sadhak, accomplish. Oh, I have succeeded. It is an image. It's a dream. Rahu says, oh, I have succeeded. It's an ego. What is Rahu all about? Fat ego. Is it not? I have succeeded. I got the gold medal. I got the Nobel Prize. Big ego. The ego only becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. Worship Durga and get over this ego. You are nobody. Nobody will remember you after 200 years. The moment you do that, you are no longer trying to succeed or become a big success. You don't have to. You will be what you are meant to be. That's all. Be happy about it. That is important. The problem is we are all trying to become, or maybe we give up after some time. Right? Yes. Right? The time when we give up, why do we give up? It's because of her grace. When she is kind, you will give up. And when you give up, you become very happy with the world. Because there is nothing to struggle. There is nothing to accomplish. You are happy. That's a beautiful book. Happy for Nothing. Beautiful book. California. Mercy. Mercy Shimoff. Okay. Vada. Vada means somebody is trying to kill me. Do you get this feeling? Somebody is trying to kill me. Have you ever got that feeling? No? That is good. Fortunate. You must be meditating a lot. When you get that feeling, somebody is trying to kill me. Something is trying to kill me. A disease is killing me. My losses are killing me. You see, killing need not always be just physical. Killing can also be in your... See, when the killing comes, it can come in different fields. That will depend upon who is the lord of this nakshatra number 7. So that is why they say when this slayer, vanquisher, death is coming, Jupiter. You need Jupiter. Why? Because Jupiter is Shiva, protector. You take the name of Shiva and death will move away. So, here Shiva is being associated as a teacher. And the guru is supposed to protect you. So go to your guru and your guru will protect you. But when we talk of death over here, what are the different kinds of death from different planets? Death, physical death, that is the Jupiter, prana going away. Is it not? Prana is Jupiter, the life force. Then we have financial death, which Venus, 7th. If Venus is the lord of this nakshatra, there is danger of financial death. If Sun is the lord of this nakshatra, spiritual death. What is spiritual death? Interesting things. I am talking of very interesting. There is a big sadhu. He used to be very famous sometime back. He used to hobnob with the Prime Minister of India then and things like that. Suddenly one day they arrested him and put him in jail. Okay, so spiritual death occurred. And then things he went through and all that. But this is where the problem was. Nakshatra number 7. Look at this nakshatra very carefully. Whoever is the lord of this nakshatra is the area of your life from where death will approach you. When you will have when you could have an experience where you will feel, it is better I should have died before seeing this. Right? What is Bill Clinton's Janma Nakshatra? Anybody? Kritika, right? Okay, Kritika maybe. So let's start. 3. So 3, 4, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Mercury. Office. Work. Mercury. Subordinates. So for Bill Clinton, this Mercury will be here. In this number 7 point, you will have Mercury over here. Mercury is your junior? A friend who is a junior? Look from where it came.
What would be Ketu? Because I can understand the others.
Ketu means rashness. You are your own. Every time you are rash, you make a fault. Don't be in a hurry. You have to take an important decision. There is so much pressure that you have to take the decision today. Throw your pen. Let's go for a movie. I'll take it tomorrow. Don't do it. Don't succumb to the pressure. Everything will be alright. If Ketu is the lord of number 7, don't succumb to pressure. If Mars is the lord of number 7, don't get angry. Your own anger will cause your death. If Rahu is the lord of number 7, don't cheat. Be careful. Be careful of cheating others so that you don't get cheated. Be careful of people cheating you also. It's both ways. Because you know, somebody could cheat you and ruin you if Rahu is lord of number 7. So this is the number we need to be careful about. And this is where we get the protection of Shiva, the guru. Mitra. Mitra here is an assistant or a helper, not a friend. There is a difference between that. Mitra is one who is assisting you, who is helping you to do something. That is why Saturn is given the role over here. The best Mitra is Saturn, because he is the most hardworking. If somebody is helping you and he doesn't get tired, that's the kind of help we need. If somebody is helping you and in exchange he asks for, listen, you got to buy me breakfast, lunch, dinner, you got to ensure that I get sweet dishes after each lunch, dinner. You are helping the guy, he's not helping you. Right? Who is serving whom? Who is helping? So, this is number 8 is your biggest helper. This is the biggest gem. They say there is no gem like the 8th nakshatra. It is the finest. It is the lotus. The lotus of Vedic thought comes from 8. Because God is seen as a helper. God is always assisting. Constantly, tirelessly helping you. You cry every time you are in trouble, you are crying out for help. And you are sure he'll be there. Tirelessly is helping you. That is why the definition of God comes from here. This Saturn. Strange, isn't it? So, it is necessary for you to cry to remember God. Ati Mitra. He who deserves to be worshipped. He who deserves to be worshipped. Ati Mitra. Deserves to be worshipped. Worth worshipping. We call him a friend because he will do what is right for you. He will not assist you blindly. You have a wife and you go praying, God, please give me another wife. So no way, get lost. That is Atimitra. All right, I'll get another wife for you. That is Mitra. See the difference between the two. He is not seeing what is right and wrong. He is seeing only if it is right, I'll help you. That is a condition. The ninth nakshatra, therefore, is worth worshipping because he is not giving you wrong things. Simply because you cried for it. So depending upon which planet is here for you. Like for example, I was born in this nakshatra. So for me, Mars will be Atimitra. So what will I say? For me, worth worshipping is Mars. What does that mean? Non-violence, ahimsa. The one quality in God that I must see is non-violence. Ahimsa. So when you go in this order from your janma till the last one will tell what you must learn to seek in God. What you must pray to God for. What you must ask God. Let us say, Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton's Janma Nakshatra was the sun. So what should he ask God? What must he ask God? Venus? Keep me away from all these. He learned it the hard way to ask. But remember, this will tell us how God will punish you if needed. God's hand, the hand of God will come from this last nakshatra. When you put them in the order, this is the hand of God. Ativitra. You can't mess around with this last one. Keep that in mind. Whatever planet is showing over here, don't mess around with it. Never mess around with this. You mess around.
I mean, sun and moon, can you go through those two? We've got everything. The Janma nakshatra begins with sun. Then what would you...
If the Janma starts with sun, then this is second sampat?
Yeah.
Vipat? Shema?
Yeah, I understand.
Like that. Then we come here. Then we come over here. This is Mitra.
Yeah.
So what kind of friends are you having? Ketu, headless fellows. Completely. Anybody who praises you is your friend. Anybody who speaks bad of you, kick him out.
Yeah.
So naturally heading for... So the problem is Venus. If Venus is weak in the chart, you will be punished by the hand of God. And it will not be a small punishment, it will be a big one. Normally they say the Lord of this nakshatra must be... Pray to God always that keep this planet calm and happy. Let this flaw in me go away. We all have flaws.
Basically you start with the lordship of Janma nakshatra, then you go down.
You always start with the Janma nakshatra
lordship.
And go down. You, for different human beings is going to be different depending upon what is number one for you. For me, number one comes here. For somebody else, number one can be something else. So what is number one? This order will change. And accordingly, you see, these planets are going to change.
When do you pray if it is sun in Janma nakshatra?
Lakshmi. You worship Lakshmi, you will never disrespect woman. If for you, God is actually Lakshmi, how can you disrespect woman? Every woman you see, we will say Lakshmi. Yeah, you will respect woman. Because the natural tendency will be to respect woman. No, but he was definitely, that is not respecting, that is disrespect to woman. No. Bill Clinton.
In terms of deity.
I like him personally, but this part no.
Richard said for Saturn will be Kali or will it be Narayan?
Saturn here is Kali, because this is the mind. Who removes all the darkness from my mind? When I am tired, who is helping me? Narayan is Krishna. As far as this is concerned, this is the primordial order for the Navtara.
So you gave us one mistake that if you've got like a Mercury in your starting, then you are very playful.
Right.
What would you say for sun and moon? Those are the two we have not covered.
We have. I told somebody with the sun will, what did I say?
Look for spirituality.
They will look for spirituality. The ideal thing is that you will be a leader. The leadership traits are very strong in your mind. You are a natural leader. Surya is very strong. Janmatara. So if Surya is Janmatara, basically what is happening over here is the person is seeking everything spiritually. You are looking at the whole world as if it's a spiritual world. But in reality it is not so. There is a lot of materiality in this world. That is the positive Surya. The negative Surya is you are looking this entire world as if it's a power equation. Who is controlling whom? The whole thing becomes power. Achha, I need to talk to Gordon. Okay, Gordon is in Bava. I see. Bava president is Andrew. So why am I talking to Gordon? I need to talk to Andrew. He will take care of Gordon. See that? That is Surya Nakshatra. You know, you can get trapped in that. The brain functions like that. The moon nakshatra is Gauri, who is sweet to me. Person who is sweet to me, the whole world is for them. Take my car, take my house, take my dress, take my this thing, take my that thing. Person who is not my friend, get out of my house, no car for you, no this thing for you, no food for you, nothing. Look at moon nakshatras, Rohini nakshatra. People who are their friends, they can do anything for them. Anything. Shravan, moon nakshatra. For your friends, people who like you, you'll do anything. Who you like, who you think are part of your family group, you'll do anything. But who are out, you are completely out. But that's not good, that's a weakness. Pardon?
Prince Charles seems like a good example with Caitlin. Moon and Caitlin.
Oh.
Look at Jupiter.
So isn't this so interesting? Now your whole vision of the world is changing because you know that when we, all we need to do is to drop a chart like this and we know exactly how this person is thinking, what his weakness is, the ninth is going to be his weakness, this is going to be this. We can drop a basic framework to work on.
Irrespective of if you actually worship this deity, you overcome all these fears.
True. You can. You can.
You will be influenced by a Janma. These are the...
Okay. Yeah, but then you will still be biased on worshipping one particular one more. For example, I am born in this nakshatra. My definition of God is strength. God must be strong. Mars. God cannot be weak. My wife Sabani says, why do you pick up Shiva's picture as if he's a bodybuilder, big, big muscles and all like this, he's holding on to a trishul and stuff. Why do you pick them up like that? I mean, Shiva was a great teacher. Why does he have to be a bodybuilder? It's that. It's my brain which is picking up that. I realized it. I said, yes, she's right, you know, because this is me.
So you worship that form?
Unconsciously, even in Shiva, I am looking for body and muscle. What is this? That is wrong. Because Shiva is not body and muscle. Why am I looking for body and muscle in Shiva? That means something is wrong with my brain that I'm looking for God like that.
You're looking for God like Mercury. You're looking for somebody who's very mercurial, God that's very... Could be.
No, you could be changeable. Today you may say, yeah, this God is good. This is stupid form of worship. That could be more right. That is, they don't know anything.
Worship
that is right.
Different kind of...
You could change so often that you miss the...
So that's why I have 20 deities in my... room.
You will be
very different ones.
Yeah, you could have a room, you could have a prayer room, let us say with
Christ.
No, with Christ. Why did you go need paths?
Different paths.
But then, what happens is, that is only confusing. Because the basic question that is being asked is, how is Krishna different from Christ? What is the difference? Please explain. There you'll fail miserably because there is no difference, fundamentally. Name as Krishna or Christ has been, it's a human, names are given by human beings.
The expression is
there. Yes. God is only one, that is Om. A name is required for the human mind to have a perception. Strange, huh? We'll come. We have some more pages in which I'll be talking about the names of God. Why Krishna is called Krishna? The name was given by somebody called Garga Muni, an astrologer. We'll go into that.
So, for example, in this case, this is actually the Janma Kshatra. You should actually worship Ganesh, not really Krishna, to overcome this.
True. Whatever is your Janma Nakshatra, so long as you worship Ganesha, your brain is going to function well. Believe me, your brain is going to function well, because irrespective, see, what is happening is, when, if it's in my chart, nothing is going to change. Only this order will change. I will take this to the top and put the planets over here. Whenever I start something, I will still be worshipping Ganesha to start it properly. That is my point. So what is happening is, I am thinking God is like this, but that's my problem. In reality, God is like this. Because God is Mercury. That means God is anything. He will take any form that he wants.
So
Mercury can change his form.
Day two, very rash.
The rash, that's right.
There must be a positive side.
He is the one who gives... spirituality. It is a spontaneous, what they call that? the spontaneous, for example, when you talk of, let's say, Shankaracharya, Adi Shankara's writings, how many million words did he write in how many minutes? Have you ever tried to work that out? His life was how much, 32 years? 32 years of life, probably started writing at the age of 10, or maybe what, 15. So he wrote for about 17 years, and how many billion words? I mean, I once tried the calculation and I felt that that's not humanly possible. It's not humanly possible. So what is that? That which is not humanly possible is Ketu. It gives you superhuman strength of the elephant. That is why we call it a miracle. What is a miracle? Miracle is that which we cannot rationally explain. That comes from Ketu, that power. It is the superhuman power. Okay? It's a very beautiful star. Very beautiful. I know why people say negative things. Very positive. Okay. Good with this. Next one. Now, what am I doing? I have now got words for three lokas. This is even more interesting. So the first is birth, janma, starting. Second, food. Then troubles. Fourth is my definition of home. Where was I born? How was my home when I was born? The struggles that I have to see in my childhood while growing up. Learning. How do I learn? See, sadha. Sadha is accomplishing. How can you accomplish something if you have not learnt anything? So how am I learning? Then slayer. Who is slaying me? Why do I need to defend myself? Where do I feel that my head is being cut off? That comes over here. Who is my helper? And who is my protector? So this is the first lot of what I call the translations of the Navtara Chakra. When you put your Navtaras, the 27 Nakshatras over here, what do you do and how do you do it? I am going to start with mine and give you an example. I will put number 24 over here. Right? So 24, 25, 26, 27. So 27 is home. So all about my childhood and home, the kind of home I lived in, if you look at this Nakshatra, you will get a straight idea. Interesting, isn't it? Let's see. Give it a shot. Somebody knows your Janma Nakshatra? Okay.
Shravan.
Shravan was 22. Right? So how will you write? 22? 23? 24? 25. The Nakshatra number 25 is ruled by Jupiter, if you see the list. Nakshatra number 25, Purva Bhadra, is ruled by Jupiter. So Jupiter is going to define how your childhood was. Jupiter normally means a very traditional, there is a law that has to be obeyed. See, Jupiter, I told you, he's the guardian of the law. This is the rules of the house, this is the way it is done, a well-ordered house, very good upbringing, very good comfort. Is that right, generally?
Absolutely.
Jupiter will define, fantastic childhood. Do you see that? The moment you see Jupiter touching this particular foe, do you have any planets placed in this nakshatra? You don't. But if you had, they would have intervened positively or negatively. If you have one planet sitting on this nakshatra, it shows the power of that planet is coming from home. Somebody at home is giving that blessing or the curse.
In this case, Jupiter is having a very profound effect on the planet in that house.
Yeah. So when I see his chart, I need to look at the fourth house and remember, look, I saw Jupiter over here. So even if there are too many bad planets in the fourth house, they won't be able to do much bad because Jupiter was sitting, influencing this. You see the point?
So it becomes a kind of guardian.
He is a guardian. So when you're looking at the chart with the 12 houses and you have marked this, Jupiter is guarding the fourth house. That is strong, God.
Even that kind of negates even negative things in the house.
Terrible negative things in the house will get negated because of that. It makes all the difference. So two people born with exactly the same chart, but one day after the other, this will shift. This will shift. The charts will look exactly the same, but this will shift. Jupiter no longer guards the fourth house.
Would it make a difference how strong or weak Jupiter was?
Yes, it does. Totally. Strength of Jupiter is very crucial. Aspect of Jupiter on the fourth house in the Rashi chart is very crucial. Because he got the guardianship of this house, is he really going to guard it or is he just doing it through my brain? But he's always triggering that. That is a Jupiter trigger. Yeah.
You consider the aspect, let's say, because it's Purva Bhadrapada, the fourth star, ruled by Jupiter. Would you look at Jupiter aspecting Purva Bhadrapada?
No, I'm going to look at Jupiter aspecting the fourth house in your chart. I'm not even looking at nakshatras. I took the information from here and I'm going to look at Jupiter in your chart. If Jupiter is strong in your chart, you will have a house which will have rules to follow. You won't have a house. You won't like to live in a house where there are no rules. If the rules of the house break, you will leave the house. You will be a person, if this is a rule for a house, everybody has to follow that rule. This is house, you cannot treat this as a hotel. You see my point? You will be very strict about it.
Does that Jupiter influence all the characters of that house?
No, it's the brain. It's the brain. It's not how the house looks, how it is colored. It is the rules and regulations, the purity. This is a rule, this is regulation, this is the way the... This is the definition of my house. This is the way we will have to live. That's very important. He brings order to your world. Single hand. It is so important because he simply is the boss of this. That is all that was important.
If the birthplace in Ashwini is home, then
Rohini. Yeah, if Ashwini is home, then home is Rohini. That's right. If one is Ashwini, home is Rohini. That is right. 100% right. Not only is this home, there is one word I missed out over here. My car. You know you like cars? Please write down car over here. Because when you live in a $10 million house, you won't buy a $10 car. Think about it. So this defines your house and your car. Get the right car and it will take you to the right house. What people are doing, they always end up getting the right house to go to the right car. No, get the right car, it will take you to the right house. And that comes from home. Struggles that you have to see, like that. Isn't it very interesting? So for the first time, I have defined this in English words. It makes it easy for us.
Can you clarify again how these link to the houses in the chart? Because you said fourth home is the fourth house. Is it fourth house is the fourth?
You go like this up to the ninth house.
So the ninth, 1, 2, 3, 4, 9.
Till the ninth house. From the lagna. So these are all houses from the lagna.
But it's not from the moon, it's from the lagna. Sorry, it's not from the janma nakshatra, it's from the lagna.
This is, lagna is how you are looking at things. Janma nakshatra is what your destiny is. In his case, I took his janma nakshatra because I wanted to see what his destiny is. Even if I like it, how does it matter if my destiny is different? So first let me see what my destiny is, then I'll talk about what I like. So which is more important? Moon is more important. You need to study destinies of people. Put the moon nakshatra over here and then study. That's right. Because you need to know what is happening both from the moon nakshatra. Clear, no? Very interesting.
Fourth nakshatra.
Mansions are also. Lunar houses. Lunar houses. You are right in a way. In fact, you are already thinking in the way I want people to think 2 years from now. You should be talking of 27 houses. This house lord is in this house, this house lord in this house. This is a completely different way of thinking. Why are you talking just of 12 houses? So don't close yourself. For the first time, you have very clear nakshatras defining different things. Whether you will get medicine or not, whether the medicine is going to work or not. I have gone to a doctor. Which day I should go to a doctor so that I get good medicine? Look at where the moon is. Who is the lord of that nakshatra? Here is Janma. For me is 24. So 24, 25, 26, 27, 1, 2. Nakshatra number 2 is medicine for me. Nakshatra number 2 means Bharani nakshatra, I can say. But in reality, it will go in the third cycle. I'm just seeing trines. I'll get 2 over here, right? See, 24, 25, 26, 27, 1, 2. I got 2 over here. What number will I get over here? I'll add 9. 9 to it. 11. What number will I get over here? 11 plus 9 is 20. That's right, 2. All the 2s will come in this. Keep that in mind. So this will be Venus. So you can clearly see that the number 20 is coming in my medicine star. And if you have a bad planet over there, it is possible. You could suffer very heavily because of wrong medicine. For example, I have Ketu over there. And I had this small boil over here, because I used to sit like that and read those government files. I told you I was in government, fat files like that, tied with red tape. So I had this little boil over there. And I went to this doctor, government doctor. He said, oh, that's a boil. There's some water in it, hot water. I'll put an injection and pull the water out. I said, that's brilliant. Why do I need to take medicines? That's right. So I let him put an injection and pull all the water out from there. And it became so big. Oh, then he said, oh my God, this has become bigger. I'm going to take all that water out. I said, you are not touching it. Tell me how did it become big. You are the doctor. So then he said, no, we'll have to. But then he did something. We have to operate your hand and it may become dangerous. I said, get lost. I'm going home. So I went to my uncle and I went home and I got done from my hometown. So you can see, if you have a bad planet over here, doctors can make terrible mistakes.
What is your planet there, Ketu?
Ketu over there. Sitting right out there in that nakshatra, I have Ketu, ruled by Venus. So Venus has to do with my aunt. Venus means, I must look at Venus for help. Venus, please help me. So what is Venus basically? If I'm not married, then I'm looking at sister. I don't have sisters. I have cousins. They are in London, Birmingham, all over the states. So then what do? Aunt. So I called up my aunt. What do? I said, come home, I'll talk to your uncle. And my uncle is a doctor, and so everything fell in place. There must be some benefic association over there.
But if you didn't have Rahu there?
If I didn't have Ketu over there, the mistake...
It would have been alright, because Venus is the one of the guardian.
Venus is guarding it. Venus, there is no guardian for health like Venus. No. None.
So the problem is Rahu.
That's Ketu. Ketu, yeah.
So the planets in the terrain will modify the effect.
Totally. So what you need to go back and do today, look at your chart, put the planets over here. These charts that you are seeing, all these pages that you are learning from me, you're going to go back today and put your planets and try to find out where your problem is. If you have a planet over here, now let's say you have a planet over here from Moon. What does that mean? You could have terrible tests. If somebody has Venus, all kind of tests related to relationships. Your heartbeat will go up and down because of that. You have to check which planet is sitting, who are the lords. So what am I doing? I am basically taking the chart into much more details. We are looking at things in much more different way. How our brain is functioning and how this world around me is functioning. How this world around me is impacting my brain. In those nakshatras where you have bad planets, circle them so that you know in those areas of your life you've got to be careful. For example, let us say somebody has a bad planet in this nakshatra, number 25. What will happen? And he's going in the spiritual path. His master tells him, you must take sannyasa. Sannyasa, you know, brahmacharya, that is the fine lord of life. He takes sannyasa. So he took sannyasa. 3 years later he meets a beautiful girl and wants to get married. And he comes to me, what do I tell him? Look, 25 nakshatra, you got this planet. Now you're coming to me, what can I do? You shouldn't have done that. So naturally I cannot advise. That is why when Shankaracharya was asked, as per the Shastras, if someone has taken sannyasa and then he marries after that, what is the way out for this sin? Shankara said, death. There is no other way. And he told right, because Shankara never lies. It may be a harsh truth, but that is the truth. Because sannyasa means death. A dead man don't get married. It's a very different concept. But keep that in mind. If somebody is taken sannyasa. So like this. You have, let's say, joined a brotherhood. And you go to that particular spiritual brotherhood. And then something bad happens. Bad planet over here. Something good happens. Good planet is here. Is it not so interesting? So you can know exactly what is happening in your spiritual lives. Where are your pitfalls?
You still have to measure very carefully the quality of the planet in the chart anyway. Yeah. What house is it ruled and, you know.
To know more details. But as such, it will give you a straight way an idea. If you have Rahu, let's say, ruling this, irrespective of what house is it rules, Rahu is Rahu. Look at my chart. I have Ketu sitting out here. Where is that medicine? It's exalted in Sagittarius. Why did he do this to me? What answer will I give? I'm Pisces rising. Ketu is the lord of my ninth house. What? Why would Ketu cause this doctor to give me wrong medicine? It is simply telling me that whether for you or for me, Ketu is Ketu. Because moon is what we are ruled by. We are ruled by our brains. And for the brain point of view, Ketu is a malefic.
What do you mean by path there? In the path, the path?
Spiritual path or life path? What do you consider as a path? See, life path is itself a spiritual path. How are you walking your life? How is your life? Which way are you going in your life? Are you going down the drain, becoming a criminal, or are you becoming a great saint? Are you living a normal, nice, decent life? The path is from here. This is what I call sleeping with God. This is very important, sleeping with God. There is a, when we go into symbols, you see this particular nakshatra. Very interesting. Sleeping with God.
Then you find that the first column here is basically physical. Second
that's
is
right.
mind. And that third is soul.
That's right.
So these are also modifying.
That's about
at soul level.
At soul level modifications. Very serious. That is why this is Bhuloka, this is Bhuvaloka, this is Swargaloka. The three lokas, this is Bhuloka. It's very earthy. It's the physical. Bhuvaloka is the mind. And Swargaloka, heaven. Heaven you are looking at spirituality more. That's why I picked up the spiritual words associated with these taras. Of course you'll ask me, Sanjay, what is the source of this? Where did you get these from any book? No. I didn't get this from any book. This is what I understood the way it was taught to me. Because Sanskrit books will give you this. Sanskrit books will not break them up for you like this. You are supposed to know every root meaning of this. See, a person who is learning Jyotish in ancient India was the master in Sanskrit. He could like talk to you in poetic phrases. Those things he was an expert at. So what am I doing is, I'm giving this, I'm making it easy for you. Otherwise, how are you going to learn? You can't learn Sanskrit. Or maybe you are experts. Time for a little break, is it? Okay. Okay, we'll take a little break. Yeah, and I can answer one or two quick questions. Yeah.
I'm just saying that you've broken the first level into three zones.
That's what I did. See, what I did was with you, I walked you through. First I took just this. Right? And you understood this. Then we have to progress, we have to grow. The knowledge is growing.
So the nakshatra is higher than the planet.
Much higher.
The planets are probably affecting them, but you have to identify what planets are doing and then go.
Planets are not affecting them. Planets are only blocking the light of the nakshatras.
Yes.
If you look at the sky, the nakshatras are beautiful. It's a garland. It's a blessing. When you look at the night sky, a clear night sky, you feel, what a blessing. Then that planet comes over there. What's it doing over there? It has no business to hang around there. So what he's doing is, he is standing on the way of the nakshatras. It's like this. I am, let us say, looking at Sui, and I see Sara over here. So Sara is blocking the entire vision of Sui. Like that, the Graha is blocking the vision of the nakshatras. That is why the word Graha. Graha means eclipse. What is he eclipsing? The light from the constellations is being blocked or eclipsed by the planet. That is why the planet is called Graha. The name Graha came from this ability to block the light of the constellations. You always heard the word Graha, Graha, Graha. Graha is from Grahana, Graha is from... What Grahana is he doing? He is a Jupiter. Is he eclipsing anybody? No. He blocks the light. Whose light? The nakshatra light. That is why he is a Graha. Wait for tea.